Okay. Remember, you can always participate with the reactions. Also, you can always put a hand up if you got any questions or anything. But we're going to try and stick to our schedule here because we only got 40 minutes. So we are a little bit short in time. But first off, I just want to say it's good to see you guys. It's really good, like, to see each and every one of you. And man, it's just been, I don't know, this last week's been awesome, challenging, been through a lot, like ups, downs. I don't know, it's just the way the Lord works, you know? Whenever he's doing awesome things, that's usually when the biggest trials will hit you. But our God's faithful, so faithful. We just keep our eyes up on him, keep calling out to him, keep looking up to him like David did. And I'm just amazed at he really is so mighty, and he delivers, and quickly too. I'm not going to say it's always quickly, but I just feel like the closer you get to the Lord, the quicker the deliverance has come. He's really faithful. So I hope you guys are doing well. Before we get into the study, just want to say one of the things that I really sense the Lord is doing right now. I've been studying the Feasts of Israel. And the feast I'm studying right now is Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And those seven feasts that God gave to Israel are all such amazing prophetic pictures of his workings with man and the things he was going to do involving salvation and restoration. But this Feast of Pentecost, man, it's such a picture of a hope of acceptance and restoration. And it's so good. And it's like, I feel like we're right in this season right now in 2020, like legitimately right in this season. I know Pentecost is about 20 days away, but I mean, man, I just sense even in my own life, in my family's life, I sense even as we're going to the homeless shelters with the homeless guys, the Lord is really trying to bring restoration to men's souls and to women's souls. You know, everything starts with the heart. So important. It all starts with the heart. This is our gospel. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart. You got to believe God raised him from the dead in thy heart. You know, it starts with the heart, but it's not only heart. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, right? So it starts with the heart because everything flows out of the heart. But one of the things that the Lord's been showing me is, he made us as living souls. He made us as living souls. That's what God created man as back in the beginning. And now because of sin, because of deception, because of the lies of the devil, because of disobedience, man is not a living soul anymore. It's like a dying soul. It's like a perishing, wounded soul. But Jesus Christ, he came to save souls and not just save them from what they're headed for, but to restore. And the promise that David gave in Psalm 23 is that the Lord would restore his soul. He restoreth my soul. And I just feel like he's really restoring us, like our souls, you know, the being of who we are to what he made man and woman to be, to what he made male and female to be. Because it's something that the world has just destroyed. It's something our own defilement, disobedience, and our youth destroyed. But you know what? God's greater than all that. And he, you know, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. He was a master restorer. He could build and he could restore. And that's just in the physical. You know that the good shepherd can restore our souls. I just sense this is a real time of resetting and restoring. So I'm just excited. I'm happy. Just praying the Lord continue to work with us. And I just really want to be in tune with what his spirit's doing in this season. So I just wanted to give that before we get into the lesson. All right. Before we get in this lesson, Brother Diavolt, if you're there, if you could pray for us.
Yeah. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, Father. And tonight, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege we have, Lord, just to sit around your word, Father, because you said your word is life, Father. And Lord, I pray tonight as we open your bread, as the bread of your word, Father, Lord, that will just be fed tonight by you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Adam, Brother Adam tonight, Lord, as he's sharing your word, Holy Spirit, just, Lord, just lead him, just take hold of his lips tonight, Lord. And I pray also for every person listening, Lord, just open up our hearts tonight, Father, that we will see Christ in everything we do tonight, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. All right, let me pull up these notes, and we'll get to this here. So this is going to be kind of an overview of the Bible. It's going to be very general. But again, we're getting into this book called the Bible. Okay, the scripture I post here is a scripture I also posted on the WhatsApp group. And this was James who said this in Acts 15:18. He said, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." It's a powerful truth. But one of the things we're going to see is we're going through this book called the Bible, is it's really unveiling God's works from the beginning until the end. And it's what a privilege to be able to have a book that we can open and his spirit can begin to open up to us, and we can begin to understand the ways of the living God and his plans and his actions and all his dealings and his covenants and things like that. So I mean, this is an awesome thing. I'm telling you, this Bible is life. It's life. Okay, we're going to just do a quick overview of the story of the Bible. Okay, these are basics, so this is not exhaustive by any means. But first thing is the story of the Bible. It covers from the beginning of creation until the beginning of the new creation. That's the story of the Bible. It goes from the beginning of creation, Genesis 1 and 2, until the beginning of the new creation, Revelation 21 and 22. It's just kind of interesting. It just, you know, in Isaiah 46 verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning. And by the way, so much is hidden in Genesis of the full scope of what God's going to do. I'm amazed. I don't know how many times I've studied Genesis, but I'm always amazed at how much is packed into Genesis. Really, God hides all the things of the end, even in the beginning. But it's just kind of neat how the first two chapters of the Bible are the original creation. Last two chapters of the Bible are the new creation, the new heaven, the new earth. The third chapter of the Bible is where Satan shows up, and that's where you see his lies and deception and sin enters the world, and ultimately death, and man is cast out of the garden. The third last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 20, is where Satan's final appearance is, and that's when his works are finally finished and he's thrown into the lake of fire, and that's where the last judgment happens and death and sin is finally put away for good. And you can run this mirror image thing. It goes for a while. It's pretty cool. I've done it. But this book called the Bible takes you from the beginning until the end of this beginning into the new beginning. And it's really exciting. Now, the Bible primarily shows God's dealings with man and man's dealings with God and each other. Okay, primarily. There's angels in the Bible, but they're not the main focus. They play parts, but they're not the main focus. There's devils and demons. They're in there, but they're not the main focus. Cherubim, seraphim, the devil himself, okay? They're in there, but they're not the main focus. This is primarily God and man. And when I say man, I'm talking mankind, male and female, okay? So this is God and man. This is the main focus of the scriptures. And I love this scripture in Job 33:29. This was Elihu. He said, "Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man." And specifically what he's talking about there, he's talking about God bringing men to repentance. God bringing men back to himself, delivering man from the destruction he's headed for. You can see a similar verse in Psalm 90, verse 3. And then third thing about the story of the Bible, the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to reveal Jesus Christ so that man can be reconciled to God. It's the ultimate purpose of the Bible, is to reveal Jesus Christ so that man can be reconciled to God. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. God knew from the beginning that man would sin, man would fall, which is why God had his master plan of redemption, atonement, propitiation, salvation, reconciliation, restoration, justification, sanctification, glorification. He had this master plan from the beginning, and it's unveiled in the scriptures. But it's all really to reveal Jesus Christ. That's why the last book of the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's just neat. I'll just throw this out there for you. The first name in the Bible is God. The middle name in the Bible is the Lord. The last name of the Bible is Jesus Christ. It's God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's unveiling throughout the scriptures. Jesus Christ himself told those Pharisees in John 5, verse 39, he said, "Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me." And he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. He's saying, search them. Search them. They're about me. They're pointing to me. I'm going to just read 2 Timothy 3:15. I didn't put it there for you, but let me read this for you. I think I have it memorized, but I'll just grab it just in case. I don't want to get it wrong. Paul told Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now remember, he's talking to Timothy. Okay, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And he says, those Old Testament scriptures are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So I'm generalizing, I'm simplifying, but these are three main key points of the story of the Bible in terms of what we're looking at as we go through the Word of God. Okay, I was going to look at the book called the Bible itself. Just going to give you some highlights. You guys probably know these things. It's a compilation of 66 books. Six is the number of man in the Bible. Again, this is God's word to man. This is for mankind, mostly focusing on life on earth, because that's where man lives. About 43 different human authors, and all of these men were Israeli men. They were men of Israel, except Luke. Luke wrote Luke and Acts. He's probably the only Gentile man who wrote a book of the Bible. But the rest of them were all Jewish men or men of Israel. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. 1,189 chapters, 929 in the Old, 260 in the New. So you can see much more in the Old, more than three times the amount in the Old Testament than in the New. Psalm 117 is the middle chapter. Just kind of threw that in there for you. It's pretty cool. It's the shortest chapter of the Bible. There's 31,102 verses. So the two middle verses of the Bible are Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Middle two books of the Bible, just throw that in there for you, is Micah and Nahum. Micah and Nahum, I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's interesting. It's interesting because M and N are the two middle letters of the English alphabet. Micah and Nahum, two middle books. The Bible's written over a period of about 2,000 years in terms of when it was actually written. The first book ever written was Job. And this is approximate right here, so don't hold me to this. Written around 1900 BC. It's the first book actually ever written. It was written before the five books of Moses. Job was around the time of Abraham, around the time of the patriarchs. The last book ever written was Revelation, which is written around 95 AD. And again, these are approximates. This isn't exact. But as you can see, from the first book of Job to the last book of Revelation, about 2,000 years of man's history during those times of those things being written. By the way, if you've ever read Job, it's something, man. See, again, the whole concept of evolution of, you know, we were once really stupid, now we're getting smarter and smarter and smarter, just read Job and you'll realize we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Because most people, when you read Job, the first five times you read Job, you have almost no idea what you're reading. Those men are dealing in a realm of wisdom and understanding that we don't, that modern man doesn't even think about. We might have more knowledge and information today, but we don't have more wisdom and understanding. We're really getting dumber and dumber. Okay, and then the last thing is, the Bible covers about 7,000 years of man on earth in terms of like the actual story of man. And again, this is approximate. Creation begins around 4,000 BC. Okay, if you track the dating backwards in the Bible, it's going to take you to right around 4,000 BC when Adam and Eve started in the garden. Now, the Bible itself skips about 400 years before Christ. Those are called the 400 years of silence from the time of Malachi to Matthew. But we start from about 4,000 BC. Then we know that we're about 2,000 years after this. So there's about 2,000 years of the church age. You have the time of Christ, about 30 years, 33 years, and then 2,000 years of the church age. And again, the Bible itself skips about 1,900 years of that. It only covers the first century. It doesn't even fully cover the first century. So we're skipping about 1,900 years. Then in the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes back, there's a final 1,000 years after the seven-year tribulation, a final 1,000 years of him ruling and reigning on this earth. A lot of people are confused about this. Christ will rule and reign on this present earth for 1,000 years, and we'll rule with him. Now, he's going to restore the earth, so it's going to be like it was before the flood. So people will be able to live for the full 1,000 years, people in natural bodies. He's going to restore things to this earth. But that's not the new heaven and the new earth. There's going to be 1,000 years on this earth. Then the final judgment comes, and then the new heaven and the new earth are revealed in Revelation 21 and 22. And as far as I can tell, that's eternal. That's going to last forever. So this is kind of an overview of the book, the Bible. I included a timeline here that I found online. I don't know if you can see this. It's pretty good. I don't agree with where they put the flood and the Tower of Babel. Not the flood, I should say. Well, yeah, no, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and Job. They put all those before 2500 BC. I don't agree with that. It should be after that. But aside from that, this is pretty decent. So again, this is kind of an overview of biblical history. You have the creation, you have the fall, you have the flood, you have the Tower of Babel. All that happens by Genesis 11. And that is about 1,800 years of human history covered by Genesis 11. So God really zooms over that first world, so to speak, the world before the flood. And then he really starts honing in when he gets to this man called Abram. It's not Abraham yet, but Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And the reason why is because God's going to really begin to focus on his dealings with man, and specifically starting with the nation of Israel. And he's going to show you the roots of the nation of Israel. And it starts with Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You know, they move into Egypt. And then, of course, now they've formed and grown into a nation, but they're in a land that doesn't belong to them, and they're bondmen, and they need to be brought out, brought into their own land. And that's where the story of Moses and the Exodus comes in. And that's where the Old Testament officially begins. Talk about this a little bit more. But Genesis is not really technically in the Old Testament in terms of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant begins in Exodus 19. And Exodus 20, that's where the Old Covenant, the Old Testament officially begins. And that's when God gives the law to the nation of Israel. And then, of course, you know, they end up conquesting the land with Joshua. And then they're ruled by the judges for about 400 years. And then that's when the kingdom begins. After that, begins with Saul as the first king, David the second king. And one of the patterns you're going to see all through is the first is rejected. It's the second that's accepted. And so David, and then Solomon, and then Solomon's son Rehoboam. And then that's when the kingdom's divided, is under Rehoboam's reign. It's split into the north and into the south. And then we see the fall of Israel, the fall of Judah. Persia conquers Babylon, and then eventually the Persians send a remnant of the Jews back. They rebuild the temple. The law is reestablished. This happens under Ezra and under Nehemiah and under Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the prophets of Haggai and Zechariah. And then there's that 400 years of silence, and that's when then Christ shows up. And then we see the life, the ministry, ultimately the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, the establishment of the new covenant church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. These are believers in Christ. And at this point, he shifts from one nation, focusing primarily on one nation, as now this new covenant goes to all nations. And now he's forming a new nation, and it's a people that's formed of all nations, but they're believers in Christ. And we're now not of the same physical blood, but we're of the same spiritual blood. We're of Christ's blood. And we can go into that. And it appears that part of this is cut off. At the end, it shows with the revelation, it shows the tribulation, but I think it's being covered right now by our faces. I don't know if you're able to move that. If you're able to move, you can see where we are, and then sometime soon, tribulation, Christ comes back, millennial reign, 1,000 years, final judgment, new creation. So this is just kind of a basic timeline of biblical history. All right, let's see how we're doing on time here. Okay, still got about 12 minutes. Let's move down. All right. Okay, let me just give you the breakdown of the Bible real quick. This might help. Okay. So Old Testament, as we talked about, 39 books. First section of the Old Testament is five books of law. It's known as the five books of Moses. This is Genesis through Deuteronomy. And like I said, Genesis really isn't under the law. It's kind of the beginning. But Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, this is where the law is beginning. This is where the nation of Israel is beginning. Then after that, you have the 12 books of the history of Israel. And this is when they as a nation enter into their land. And this covers from Joshua to Esther. And again, you're going to see the conquest. You're going to see the period of the judges. You're going to see the time of the kingdom. And then you're going to see the fall of the kingdom. And then the exile and them gathering back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. These are awesome books. Really exciting stuff. Then you have the five books of wisdom. Commonly, they're known as the five books of poetry. I don't really like that term. I call them the five books of wisdom. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, these things are so rich, so rich. And the older you grow in the Lord, the more you're going to appreciate these books and the more you're going to love them. When I first started reading the Bible, I think I liked Job chapter 1 and 2 and maybe the last chapter of Job, and that was about it. The rest of it, I didn't know what was going on. So it takes time. Don't feel bad. And then the last section is the 17 books of the prophets of the Old Testament. And they break it up into two groups. They call the first five books the major prophets, and that's Isaiah through Daniel. And then they call the next 12 books the minor prophets, and that's Hosea through Malachi. And they call them that not necessarily based on their importance, but more based on their size of their books. And again, so you're seeing this 5-12 5-5-12 pattern, 5 and 12, key numbers. We'll talk about that later. Okay, then of course we have the New Testament. And the New Testament is going to follow a very similar pattern as the Old Testament we're going to see. So the first section are the four books of the gospel. Okay, so the Old Testament was a covenant of law. The New Testament is a gospel of grace, a gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's why Old Testament starts with law. New Testament starts with gospel, Matthew through John. And again, this is the whole point of the Bible, is we're coming to unveil Christ. Here he's going to be unveiled in the gospels. And this is unveiled directly. Then after the gospel, we have one book of church history. I wish we had more. This is, you know, one of my complaints to the Lord. You know, you give me 12 books of history of Israel and you give me one book of church history. I really wish there was more. Books of church history. But maybe the Lord did it this way because he's saying, look, you're in the church age. You go write your own book of history, you know? I mean, not really like don't write a book and add it to the Bible, but I think like go out there and live by faith and be led of the Holy Ghost and, man, live the book of Acts and add to this book, you know? So I don't know. That's my own take, but I wish there were more personally. Then in the Old Testament, there's 5 books of wisdom. In the New Testament, there's 21. You could call them letters or epistles of wisdom. And these are really like the books that give us the wisdom and the instruction that we need as New Testament believers. And we split it up in 2 groups. There's Paul's epistles, which is from Romans through Hebrews. And then there's the other epistles, James, Peter, John, and Jude. And their epistles from James through Jude. And then lastly, it also finishes with prophecy, just like the Old Testament. But here there's only 1 book of prophecy, and it's the book of Revelation. And I think we're all kind of familiar with that book. So that's kind of a breakdown of the Bible. Now, real quick, I just want to read you this. Okay, we're still doing good on time. This way, though, the Bible's broken down, right? So you got law, history of Israel, wisdom books, prophets, gospel, church history, epistles, and then Revelation. This is how the Bible's broken down. But really, this gives a very good overview breakdown of God's dealings with man. Excuse me. And so I'm going to just read this, something I wrote, but I think this will, this might help you, okay? Concerning God's workings with man, there's an order to how God has worked with mankind through the ages. Okay? God has times and seasons. He does things in specific order. He's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. He does things decently and in order. That's how he commands us to be too. He says the Bible really gives this story in order. So let me give you a brief overview. So first, you have law. Okay, in the law, what we see is we see God creates everything good. Man disobeys. Man's conscience is unable to sufficiently restrain him from evil. So therefore, God gives his law to keep man in check and to expose his sin. Okay, this is how God worked with man. That's why the first 5 books are the books of law. This is what you're going to see. Then we have the history of Israel. Okay, so what God tries to do is he tries to work personally with one man and then one family. And that one family turns into a nation. And he tries to work with them personally so that they might be different and holy to him. And this nation experiences great blessings at times. However, more often than not, they stray. They want to be like the other nations around them rather than staying close to God. And so because of this, we see God chastising them. We see God bringing judgment. And ultimately, the kingdoms and glory of men, they rise and they fall, and great is their fall. Okay, now we got wisdom. Okay, in spite of all this, God continues to work with man in the midst of their confusion by giving his good spirits to man. Spirits like the fear of the Lord, spirits like wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel and might. And so while most people ignore or refuse God and his spirits, there always seems to be a small remnant that receives God's spirits and loves the Lord in the midst of suffering and adversity of life on earth. And we see that in the books of the wisdom. Now the prophets. Since all nations go astray, including Israel, God raises up prophets to offer mercy and warn of judgment. These men see the corruption of their society and they will not participate. They love the truth of God and want to see God's will prevail on earth. And God calls them to preach and call men to repent to God and to turn back to his ways. Most people ignore and reject the messages of the prophets. Some hearken. Most prophets struggle greatly in their lives. But they're waiting, awaiting the coming of their God. And that leads us to the Gospels. The Gospel. Okay. Finally, the Messiah shows up. This is the one that the prophets and saints awaited. This is their hope. He is our life. He comes to undo all that man has ever corrupted. He comes to offer salvation and eternal life to all who turn to him in faith. But we see that his plans and his ways are so different than we would expect. And again, they were expecting the conquering king. And he was the conquering king, but didn't appear that way. He was conquering in a different realm, wasn't conquering outwardly. Okay, then we get to the church history and the epistles. Okay, God begins a new work. People from all nations are brought together in unity, faith, and love by his Spirit. They're given power to testify of Christ who has come, the one who died and ascended. And they're given power to testify of Christ who will return to bring his kingdom. And this is really, you know, where we're called to be holy unto the Lord and to await his coming and to be prepared for him, to meet him. And then lastly, the revelation, the book of prophecy. Ultimately, we see that rebellious man led by Satan will be defeated. Jesus Christ and his saints will prevail. Glory to God forever and ever, world without end. And that's just a general overview. So even in these breakdowns of these books, as the Bible's broken down, it's really giving the story of God's workings with man from the beginning to the end. Okay, just a few last important things. We only got like 2.5 minutes. Let me try and get through this real quick, and then we'll break, come back. First thing, the Bible is both simple and complex. It's not one or the other. Okay, some people make it out, well, the Bible's just simple and all that complex stuff, that's not really important. That's not true. But then other people say the Bible's so complex, nobody can understand it but scholars. That's not true either. It's both, okay? It's shallow and it's deep. You read Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5, the waters of the pure river that comes out from the throne. When Ezekiel first goes to cross, it's at the ankles. Goes, I think it's 1,000 cubits. Can't remember if it's 100 cubits or 1,000. And then he crosses and it's to the knees. Then he goes another 1,000 and it's to the loins. And then he goes another 1,000 and it's in over his head. He's swimming. That's a picture of God's word. It's simple and it's deep. Okay, it's not one or the other. Main things are simple and straightforward enough for a child to get. Okay, God's not trying to trick us. So the main important thing that God requires of men, repentance, faith, obedience, trust, these things are simple. Children can get it. He's not trying to trick us, okay? However, there are very, very, very deep things that can take years of digging and growing in Christ until God opens them up to us. And so here's what I want to close with. Truth is knowable, and this is important. I don't know what your approach is to the Bible, but I know what mine is. I believe that everything in the Bible I can know and I can understand. Here's why. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These things are written so we can know what we need to know, believe what we need to believe. And then I love this scripture. Remember, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. God knows everything from the beginning. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says that, you know, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You guys know that. But then after that, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God is God, and he knows all the things of God from the beginning. And the Spirit of God can open up anything he wants to me. So I don't agree to disagree. If I don't know something, it's not because it can't be known, it's just because I don't know it yet. But I believe the Spirit can open up anything he wants to. Nothing has to be hidden. Our time is up. I'll see you in 10 minutes.